You made me watch a movie where Christian Bale dies?
Like, eventually. Wow. Everyone dies eventually.
That's true. All right, you know, you're off the hook. Welcome.
I wasn't ready for you to so abruptly start the record.
I'm coming off this hot. I finished Ford V Ferrari moments ago, but we'll save it for the pod. In the meantime. Yes,
that's a good idea. In the meantime, what? What do you want to talk about?
I got a haircut, as you already said, looks great, so thank you for that.
Yes. It seemed like there would be problems if I didn't.
Well, you're typically a pretty observant person, so.
I wasn't looking too closely at you. You were winning. I guess you can see that, but I'm just open to ESPN.
What else is in the news?
Yeah. Sam Howell, of course, traded to the Seahawks.
Yeah. To what end do we think for the Seattle Seahawks? Are they unhappy with Geno Stone?
Geno Stone?
Who's their guy? Geno Smith. Geno Stone was that draft bust out of.
I was about to say, there is a person named Geno Stone. Yeah, he was that draft bust that was drafted by the Ravens in the 7th round of the 2020 NFL draft.
Geno Stone is not a draft bust. Geno Stone is a star safety who I believe led the NFL in interceptions this year.
Wow.
Pretty good 7th round pick. Geno Smith is the draft bust, who is now not.
Right. Yes, seven interceptions last year.
I believe he signed with the Cincinnati Bengals. Chris, I'm crushing the NFL offseason, quite unlike the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Because they signed Russell Wilson?
Yeah. To what end? That's my big question of the offseason so far. Yeah. To what end?
I think that they thought that their quarterback was bad, which they're probably right about.
And they're like, okay, we're comfortable with bad quarterbacks. Stick with what you know.
Let's not get crazy here and get a good quarterback. Because I was very anti Russell Wilson.
Yes.
You know, 2 years ago, certainly. But I do feel like the pendulum has now swung so far in the other direction. They're paying him, like, $1 million. Like, they're literally paying him nothing. Okay. They could just cut him if they needed to. I don't think they will. But, like, it's basically no risk. There is some upside. At least, like,
technically, above, I suppose.
Above average starting quarterback upside, which they haven't had in,
20 years?
7 years?
All right. With that scalding hot take, let's start the show. Hello and welcome to a new episode of High Floor, Low Ceiling. Chris, is there anything in particular notable about this podcast?
What?
Is it by any chance the sports podcast they're listening to right now?
Is that notable? I guess I did.
Yeah, that's the tagline.
I wondered if that's what you were fishing for, but I did not know if that was considered notable.
I think so. I think the actions of our listeners in the media that they choose to consume is notable.
Okay.
But I care about them. Griffin, that's why I win every poll.
Yeah, you do. Griffin, I have an important update from last week.
Okay. Is this an update all the way from California?
Is this an update from California? Well, no longer from California. I received it here in humble Toronto. Mm. Of course, you remember last week we were talking about Jessica Rabbit.
Yes.
And there was a confusing message, which I didn't even remember. What was reminded of today was this was a hot button issue, as I recall.
You don't remember this whole conversation we had about Jessica Rabbit?
Of course I remember the conversation about Jessica Rabbit. I did not remember that there was a big bit of confusion over what Evie had said.
Yes, that was a specific part of the conversation because she said she did not get a pic of Jessica Rabbit dressed as pie.
Yes, and Griffin, today, not to peek behind the curtain, we never do that, but today is of course Pi Day, as mathematicians like to frickin' talk about every year. So that's a link. That's
your beef with keep mathematicians.
That. I just think that
they get one day.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, really, every day is math because they're numbers.
Wow. Makes you think.
So that's one thread. Put that up in the corner. Pi day. Second thread. I've discovered, deduced, detected, you could say, the meaning of the message. Jessica Rabbit, at this ride, I forget what it's called. Presumably Roger Rabbit is included in it. Jessica Rabbit is dressed as a private investigator. She is a PI.
Mm-hmm.
And there is just a lack of capitalization that led to the confusion.
Yep.
And apparently she, I was looking through some photographs, like a detective in my own right.
Right.
And apparently she was usually her more typical form, but they changed her to be,
a PI.
To be wearing a trench coat, Griffin.
Wow. Do you not remember us settling this last week? When we figured out that she meant PI, as in private investigator?
I don't remember this at all, actually. I didn't remember that we'd had a whole conversation about it.
Well, now I'm concerned about your short-term memory.
Normal. That's a valid concern.
I don't know if we settled that on mic, so I think it's a good clarification to have on mic.
That might be it, because I got a DM when I informed Evie that we were recording that it was important to follow up here.
Right.
So.
Yes. Well, I'm glad we got to the bottom of that, just like a PI would.
Mm-hmm.
Some are saying. Chris, NFL.
And it only took 3.14 minutes by my calculations.
Suck on that, math nerds.
Not even math nerds.
The jocks are
mathematicians.
Yeah, mathematicians in particular.
I'm more into sports, thank you very much.
No numbers there.
Nope. Not if you do it the right way. You know what? I've been meaning to go off on sabermetrics lately.
Yeah.
The game is the game. You know, you can't
Take
play
the
it.
Out of it,
it
and you'll have what I think of analytics.
You don't
Sorry,
play
what?
It on a computer. It's not played on a spreadsheet. It's played on a field by men who have hearts and minds and emotions. Oh. And you can't put those into your spreadsheet.
It's played by women as well. Just want you to...
Not from the point of view of this character that I'm doing.
That's a cool character, though.
Yeah,
he's cool energy to bring in.
He's a really cool guy. Everyone loves hanging out with him.
Griffin.
Chris.
I feel like we should get started because we're only halfway done, right? Is that how the math...
Round. Yeah, not on this day of all days. The first round is half the bracket. The rest of the bracket is the other half. Just before we do that, Chris, quickly, would you ever sign a running back in NFL free agency to a big contract?
Define big. Would I sign Derrick Henry?
$8 million for Derrick Henry?
To 2 years, $16 million? I think I would.
I wouldn't.
Derrick Henry.
Don't you feel like you can get running backs anywhere? Like, you can get undrafted or seventh-round running backs and turn them into functional NFL players, and sure, they don't have the name value, and they might not pick up an 8-yard run on first down. You might be facing second and five instead of second and two, but is it really worth the cap space to sign these big names? And I know they're not getting huge contracts in the grand scheme of things, but I just feel like you should never sign a running back to anything more than a minimum. Like, with all due respect, is running back not completely obsolete in this day and age?
No. I definitely wouldn't agree with that.
I think running backs are largely unnecessary, and anyone can play
running
back to
this
basically
year.
The same level.
They had a lot of difficulty because they didn't get good play out of their running backs.
I thought, it was more the receivers, some were saying.
Sure. But I think that, you know, running back in general is a position that its role has expanded within the last, you know, 5 years.
Right.
With a larger part of the receiving game, with just, in general, like, more responsibility, more skill required at the position. So I do think that there is a difference between a seventh round or undrafted running back. And I think that sometimes you certainly can find cheap running backs, but I think that it's more of a gamble. What you're paying for is the assurance.
I see. Yeah. You know,
that if I'm paying like a Derrick Henry, again, a little iffy because he is older, but yeah. That if I'm paying a Derrick Henry or a Josh Jacobs, that I'm paying someone who I know will be can be like a focal point in my offense and will do stuff for me.
Aren't running backs like bullpen arms? Like, it's so fickle year to year. Look at Josh Jacobs last year or Austin Eckler.
I think that a bullpen arm is a great example where there are some bullpen pitchers that are very expensive. And you can say that you could get that production elsewhere, and you probably could. And every year we see people find bullpen arms that are just as productive or, you know, on the level of the really great players. But then you have a player like Josh Hader who gets a huge contract because he's done it and proven it. And you're paying for, again, not the most guaranteed, but hypothetically, you're paying for the assurance that a player will be good rather than the hope that they could be.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to save my Leafs rant for a more traditional episode, but I have thoughts and takes on their approach to the NHL trade deadline. I think this team is bad, low-key, and I think that...
on defense?
Just bad.
Just bad. Now, hold on, I do want to talk about this now.
Austin Matthews, I think, is dragging them kicking and screaming.
Secondary scoring Griffin. I mean, I feel like, in general, the team has not played as well as they did, like, before the All-Star break.
Very true, because Austin Matthews is not scoring four goals a game.
There was a period at the start of the season where they weren't always getting a ton of production from Austin Matthews, and were still, like, good. Maybe not amazing, but good.
Listen, they'll make the playoffs, but Brendan Shanahan made a massive, massive gamble this offseason to kick Kyle Dubas unceremoniously to the curb and bet on himself, as the kids say. And
I don't think that's really how it happened.
I do think that is basically how it happened. Kyle Dubas wanted to come back, wanted to have full control over hockey operations. Brendan Shanahan said no.
And look at how's Kyle Dubas doing this year, you know?
I think he inherited a tough situation in Pittsburgh.
Well, you could say that the Maple Leafs are inherited a tough situation.
I don't think they did. They made the playoffs last year. I think that if the Leafs take a step back and lose in the first round this year, I think we need to have serious conversations about Brendan Shanahan.
I think relative to the team's expectations, which team is underperforming harder, you certainly would not say the Maple Leafs.
No, but I don't think that... I mean, maybe aside from Max Domi, did the Leafs make a season off-season move this year that's been good for them?
Well, they signed the 90-point man. Tyler Bertuzzi.
Well,
how's
that gone?
Not great. I mean, like...
At least they got Ilya Labushkin at the trade deadline.
that was an interesting choice. But I mean, you know, we talked about it in the offseason that we didn't love their offseason moves either.
Yeah, that's my point.
But I think that they were in a difficult situation. What could they have done that would be better?
Not given $8 million combined dollars to John Klingberg and Ryan Reeves.
The Klingberg thing's pretty bad, but you know, it doesn't matter that much because they've now freed up that salary.
Thank God. I wouldn't be surprised if they kneecapped him in the dressing room.
But I mean, other than like, I guess Klingberg is probably the big one. But again, that was like partially negated by the contract situation. But what other than just like they should have picked a player that they knew was going to be good, like. There is, I think, always inherently, at the price point that they're signing players at, there is going to be risk. And they haven't really hurt. Like, they're not hurting for fourth liners, I don't think.
No, and I liked the Bertuzzi signing at the time, but I think that they should have gone more in at this trade deadline because you have Austin Matthews, the greatest player to ever wear a Toronto Maple Leafs uniform, and he's only going to be this good at this age for this long. And you, by not giving him the support that... You need teams find a way. Look at the Vegas Golden Knights. They find a way to get players in.
Wow.
The Toronto Maple Leafs have more money than any team in the NHL, more or less. They can find a way to get players in if they want, because other teams do. So the fact that you are not supporting Austin Matthews in maybe the best season of his career and you're going to let this team flounder and die on the vine and lose to the Boston Bruins in the first round, you don't get unlimited numbers of these years. You only get a certain number of these years. And to waste one by not going all in and hanging on to your prospects and your first round pick who are really going to help you in 2027, I think that's very stupid.
Okay, I don't believe that, because I think that if they had traded a first round pick and they were like not a conference finals team, you would be saying, why did they trade the first round pick for a team that wasn't good enough?
I would rather they try. I would rather they go all in.
Well, I've said this for literally years, but the dirty little secret that no one really talks about is John Tavares. That he makes $11 million.
I think lots of people talk about that.
I don't know if they do, because if John Tavares is on LTIR right now, then maybe they could have gotten Noah Hanifin. And they have one more offseason that they have to go through with his contract on the books. And then you're freeing up a huge amount of money. And obviously, some of that money is going to be allocated to players who are already on the team. But if you're talking about flexibility and wanting the ability to spend and wanting not having like bad money on your books, that deal expiring in 2025 is a huge difference.
Yeah, but in 2025, Austin Matthews is going to be 28. By the time the playoffs roll around, he's going to be... I mean, 28? It's not 26. He's young, and it's amazing, but...
It kind of is 26, frankly.
You don't get that many chances at this.
I mean, I think you... How many... I think you get, like, 5, probably, with at least, like, Matthews and Riley and Nylander.
Yeah, but Morgan Riley's aging.
They bought themselves time. Sure, everyone's aging. But, like, this is also a team that maybe 5 years from, maybe, like, in 5 years, that core will be better suited to winning a championship than they are now. That doesn't feel...
Do you think they're all going to get better than they are now?
I don't think they will get more talented. I think that they might cohere as a team more successfully than they have up to this point.
I mean, they've been a team for a long time.
Right.
I don't know how much more cohering there is to do. They're all pretty close.
Well then they don't have it, frankly. Like, what you're saying is true.
You could support them better.
They've had swings at it. But I think that last year they were adequately supported. 2 years ago, I think that they were pretty adequately supported.
Yeah, because Kyle Dubas was here.
Okay. But I think that they are adequately supported. Maybe they're not making the perfect moves. I think that certainly the approach is different, obviously. Like, I mean, the Klingberg signing is very confusing still. But I think that they're not getting the Golden Knights, but they're getting enough for what is ostensibly, like, I don't know.
But they didn't get anything. They got Labushkin. They got borderline AHL players.
But if you look at their... I mean, like, certainly they were not heavy buyers.
They got third and a fourth line center.
Yeah. What? Did you want them to get Noah Hanifin?
Yeah.
That seems crazy.
I wanted them to get UC Saros.
Well, he's famously not being traded.
Well, and he now, should be, because they've got Askarov coming up in Nashville.
They already have too many goaltenders. That's a whole
situation.
You can
only have one. No, they should have traded Ilya Samsonov and whatever else it took for UC Saros. Anyway, we can sit here in Armchair GM, and maybe these moves that he made to bring in... I like Joel Edmondson. I think he's going to provide a good amount of playoff grit, although we do know the Leafs get looked at differently in the playoffs than every other team.
I just think that your perception of what they could be doing is skewed by what some teams are doing.
Well, why can't they do that? Why can other teams do what the Leafs can't do?
Well, why can Vegas do what they do? Literally nobody knows, I would argue. How
because
did
they
Vegas
want
get
to.
Noah Hanifin and Tomas Hertl?
They ponied up.
They ponied up what? They didn't even, like, they weren't, I don't think they moved that much of significance for either of those players.
They moved first-round draft picks and other stuff. I mean... Listen, obviously Vegas no other team did what Vegas did, so it's not just the Leafs.
Exactly.
But
that's what I'm saying.
But why not the Leafs? You're the Toronto Maple Leafs. You should be the New York Yankees. You should be the Dallas Cowboys. You should be the team where every year is like, they got the best players again? Oh my God.
But they can't, they're not, they're the New York Knicks. they're not the New York Yankees.
So where's your OG Anunoby trade? These metaphors are all perfectly tracked one to one.
What a thing to say. And, you know, I mean, you could argue that they are also the Dallas Cowboys. Kind of another team that famously, I would argue, is pretty adequately supported and does not deliver on maybe what their roster suggests.
But why aren't the Leafs... Why doesn't every franchise every year complain about how the Leafs managed to get everyone? What's the excuse not to? Because Vegas can't. So clearly it's possible. Vegas has a star-studded roster. They got a ton of players on big deals, and they still managed to do stuff like this. And sure, you can say they forced Mark Stone to the LTIR and all that.
They were certainly aggressive, but they were not. They're not like a hamstrung team. I think that they went into their existence as a franchise with like a clean cap sheet, basically, and like. I don't think there is a... I mean, I haven't, like, dug into their books, but I don't think there is a John Tavares on their roster that is, like, clogging things in that way.
I mean, you're going to bring up the cap-friendly...
They are the team. I think if it was as easy to do that as it seemed, then more than one team would be doing it.
I don't know. I feel like hockey culture in general is, we'll let them take all the risks. We'll let them try. We're just going to sit here and try and develop internally.
I mean, it's like they have Zach Whitecloud signed for 5 more years at $2.75 million.
Leafs should do that.
They have Aiden Hill signed at $4.9 million. Like,
I'm sick and tired of watching the Leafs nickel and dime.
I understand. I think that regardless, you would be complaining probably, unless they won a championship.
If they went all in and lost, I would understand that.
If they got Noah Hanifin and lost in the playoffs, and Noah Hanifin left in free agency, you would be understanding about that.
Yeah, I didn't criticize the Ryan O'Reilly trade last year. I think that was a good move. I think Ryan O'Reilly's a coward. the lights were too bright, apparently. Hope you enjoy your anonymous grocery store trips in Nashville.
I mean, that is also a part of it, is that I think that it being the Toronto Maple Leafs is a negative towards their ability to run over everyone rather than a positive. That's what I meant by that, saying that the New York Knicks is that being the being in their city and being that franchise makes teams, and also like there's a media element as well, but disinclined to play ball with them as easily as they might with other teams.
Yeah, well, that's a problem with hockey, and I'm willing to burn it all to the ground.
Okay, maybe you should just become a fan of a different team.
No, that's not really an option on the table at this point, but okay. Listen, I hope I'm wrong. I hope that this team does great and wins in the second round and makes it to the conference final. They're not. And I think that if I was in the locker room right now, if I was Austin Matthews, I would be like, what the hell are we doing here? We're getting Ilya Labushkin and Connor DeWar. That's what you want me to bring you a championship with? I know that you have William Nylander and Mitch Marner already, but they're worse than Boston, they're worse than Florida, and they didn't try to be better than them. They just gave up.
But they are, that's what I'm saying, or that what you are acknowledging, the fact that they are worse than Florida, they are worse than Boston.
So try why, not to be.
So, but why are they then trying to leapfrog teams that they probably can't leapfrog, no matter who, if they got Noah Hanifin, they still wouldn't be better than Florida.
Because they have a guy who's going to score 70 goals this year.
Uh-huh.
And they're just going to let that go to nothing.
Well, kind of famously, that's like the problem with the Maple Leafs, is that they have a guy who scores 70 goals, and then that's kind of it.
I mean, listen, it's the gauntlet has been laid. It's on these guys to step up to, for Tyler Bertuzzi and Max Domi to grit up in the playoffs.
That's been laid. I've never heard you like this.
I think it's stupid.
You're peeved.
I'm peeved. I think that this franchise went down the tubes the day that Brendan Shanahan kicked Kyle Dubas out.
But why? To be honest. I don't really... Thank you for your honesty. I don't really see what the difference was. Like, or, like, not that the approach isn't different, but, like, I don't see how Kyle Dubas is necessarily deserving of, like, the benefit of the doubt to the extent, or, like, the faith that he was delivering such amazing teams during his tenure. Not that I think he didn't deserve to come back. I think that he was doing the best he could, again, under the circumstances, but it's not great circumstances that you're presented with every year.
No. He obviously, the Leafs were not an annual championship winner under him, but I think that his moves were more often explainable and his approach more matched my own. His attitude.
I mean, he was still doing the, like, he held on to Wayne Simmonds for however long. Like, he also
that's another
was the
thing.
One who hired Sheldon Keefe, like, which I think you could also agree. I mean, certainly if they don't win this year, then you have to think he will be gone.
Yes.
And that's a Dubas. That's a Dubas original.
Listen, Sheldon Keefe is his own thing. I would have gotten rid of Sheldon Keefe at the end of last year and kept Kyle Dubas. I don't think it was one or the other. We're rehashing old ground here, but I don't understand their approach.
Sure. Can you imagine being the person who was like, can you imagine being Emilio Diaz right now? Who said the bracket? I think you like the bracket. We got some criticism, I will say.
Oh boy!
For including all three cards.
Those are three distinct efforts.
But
no one is like the other two.
Sure, but imagine that you were coming for that, and you've now received whatever this was.
Emilio's a big hockey fan. Emilio knows what I'm talking about.
This is like our most like sports podcast episode in like
this has been like several weeks
forever.
Yeah. Okay, well, why don't we take a break, and when we come back we'll do a freaking bracket.
Cheers.
No, he's not gonna win the best sports movie.
Kyle Dubas,
the Brad Tree Living story. Okay. Which is a movie I'm writing where Brad Tree Living is portrayed as a dumb who doesn't know hockey.
We'll be right back.
We didn't even get to Joey Votto.
I don't give a fuck about Joey Votto.
That's staying in. Chris exposed. Why do you not care about Joey Votto? He might make the team.
Team, maybe.
I don't. Personally, as much as I love Joey Votto, I don't really think he should. He hit 202 last year.
Yeah, like, if he makes the team, he'll be, like, the 14th best player or whatever. And it's like, yeah, I guess you can have Joey Votto instead of
Daniel. It's him and Vogelbeck competing for that left-handed bench DH slot.
Right, right.
But I like Vogelbeck more for that. Anyway,
Chris. Are we still recording?
I never press stop.
Good break.
I'll artificially create a break in there. Do you need a break? Do you need to?
No.
To calm down?
I'll be broken by the end of this. Yeah. I'm working mornings, everything's messed up.
Yeah. All right, quickly, just before you get into the criticism of the first round of the bracket that we received, what'd you think of the Oscars?
I thought the Oscars were good. Yeah. I thought it was a good show. I liked the thing with the acting nominees.
Oh, I loved that. Yeah.
I thought that was a really cool idea. You know, the songs were fun. I thought that they sort of nailed the structure of the show in a way that they hadn't really in the last, like, you know, 5 years or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe longer. But, like, I think that they...
I didn't like that they broke up Best Supporting Actress and Best Supporting Actor. Just so ostensibly more people could see Robert Downey Jr.'s smarmy speech.
I guess so.
I don't like it.
I don't really think about stuff like that because I'm just watching the full show. But
I have producer brain.
Sure. But yeah, I thought it was a good show. I think Jimmy is very good.
Yeah, he's good for that job. To be,
yeah, like he has the right pitch, and as we've seen, you know, we saw at the Golden Globes this year, it's not necessarily super easy to just give like an agreeable performance that everyone just is like, yeah, good job.
Yeah.
So no, I think he kudos to him.
A lot of guff for maybe making it look easier than it is. With that being said, if
and it's Jimmy Kimmel, like his vibe is maybe not necessarily Oscars-y, but
yeah, if they do go with Mulaney next year, I'd be happy with that.
That would, I mean, I can't even imagine.
It seemed that you don't think that was a little audition piece that he had there.
That's I did hear that sort of conversation. I think that that's just a very like. That's just a very Mulaney chunk to
do. Oh, it super is, but also with him hosting the Governor Awards and all that.
He did a tight one.
What was your
I think that they would
favorite be very comedic pleased to have him. Presenter bit of the night? Because there's three that are bouncing around in my mind. There's obviously John Cena, star of Ricky Stenicki. Yes. That was very funny.
Ricky Stenicki, also quite a solid picture.
I would watch it.
I think you should roll out and see what you think. I think that's probably that, but continue with your other two.
Well, there was DeVito and Schwarzenegger and Keaton doing their fun little Batman bit. That was fun. But yeah. my personal favorite was Kate McKinnon and America Ferrera and Steven Spielberg. I thought Kate and America had great back and forth about the dinosaurs. Spielberg's a master of the cutaway gag. It goes back to his years as a writer on Family Guy.
It seemed like they were getting a lot from their cutaways or their cut twos, whereas, you know, again, Golden Globes got the opposite of a boost from their cutaways.
And just a final thought, your thoughts on the Academy fundamentally misunderstanding the movie Barbie by having Ryan Gosling perform I'm Just Ken? Did they even watch the movie? Did they even get the message? That
the human world has a fundamental misunderstanding of that movie, or at least like a fundamental rejection of what the movie is trying to present. I think the fact that the breakout star of the Barbie movie was Ken is maybe speaks to something within us.
So you don't think they should have allowed him to perform?
I thought it was
the highlight of the night in almost
terrific performance. I believe you were the one that raised the idea that it was an outrage to allow him to perform.
I was maybe speaking as film Twitter. I gotta say, this Oscar season, Twitter has pushed me towards quote unquote film Twitter. I do not radicalized. Like it there. I do not think it is a fun discussion. I didn't really see that.
Everyone I watched it with.
You seem like you have.
Everyone I watched it with was sort of. Sure, for sure. I love my, I was going to say girls. There are men, but mostly girls.
Yeah. Why don't you give a little love to the kids? I think that
most people, even if you were like a little trepidatious, great point. Even if you were a little trepidatious about how that was going to come off, I think that they nailed it. And obviously, the fact that it didn't win the Oscar helps a lot in my mind.
I would have voted
I think
for
that it.
It
would be extremely embarrassing for Ryan Gosling to have to accept an Academy Award for Best Original Song when, like, in my opinion, like, a great, with a capital G, song from the same movie was nominated.
You're talking about the Dua Lipa song that was snubbed.
Well, we love Dance the Night. They played it to open and close the show.
Yeah.
But I think that if Billie Eilish did not already have multiple like Song of the Year Grammys and multiple Best Original Song Oscars, or at least one, that it would never ever be a conversation whether or not that song should win the Oscar.
Listen, if you could only listen to one for the rest of your life, you're picking I'm Just Ken. I'm sorry. You're
That's
not,
not
but
true
I am.
At all. That's like extremely untrue. I have never opted into listening to I'm Just Ken.
I have.
I've never sought it out, at least.
I have.
I will happily listen to it within the context of the movie Barbie. I don't think it needs any additional accolades beyond that.
And just one last thing. What are your thoughts on Robert Downey Jr. and Emma Stone both snubbing the actors who present them with the Oscar. This is just the discourse that you missed on film Twitter. That
just... you are just like inventing things.
No, this was something several people were talking about. Like Robert Downey Jr. passed over Ke-Hei Kwan, and then Emma Stone took the snubbed Michelle Yeoh. It was all over the place.
Didn't Michelle Yeoh hand her the Oscar?
Well, she, Jennifer Lawrence, since they're best friends, sort of like went, she, Michelle Yeoh and Jennifer Lawrence like handed it together, but Emma Stone sort of seemed like she wanted to take it from Michelle Yeoh and hand it to Jennifer Lawrence so that Jennifer Lawrence could give it to Emma Stone. It was a whole thing, Chris. It was a discourse for several hours. Mm-hmm. It was awful. Mm-hmm. And I hated it.
You could just not.
I know. Maybe in the future I will. But you know what I can do? Can talk about some sports movies.
Talk about some movies? Okay, wait. How long have we been recording?
35 minutes.
Perfect.
We can bang this out in half an hour. We've already talked about all these movies last week. If you haven't listened to last week's episode, go listen to it. Sports Movie Bracket Part 1. I believe it was entitled
The Two Experts. Yes, that is going to be a necessity. Oh, you're heavily cutting out for me now.
Oh, no. How about now?
Well, you're back.
Woohoo!
The Drake special. You are very laggy, but we will press on. Griffin.
Into the second round. The round of 32.
Hey, you've heard of Into the Spider-Verse?
Yes.
How about Into the Second Round?
Snubbed, by the way. Into the Spider-Verse. Or no, Across the Spider-Verse.
19 when it won the
Oscar. Into the Spider-Verse was not snubbed. Across the Spider-Verse was snubbed.
Yeah, famously, your review of Boy in the Heron was like, I don't get it.
I didn't really. I listened to the Blank Check episode about it. I got it more. I still mm-hmm. don't. Listen, I get that movies are going to be esoteric sometimes, and even if that's not to my taste, I still think they shouldn't be confusing. You can be esoteric without being confusing.
But without you mean.
Yeah, I'm not as cultured. I have a more basic opinion on film and culture. I don't know the Taylor Swift album cuts.
Oh.
These are all things that I imagine run in the head of Emilio and Cullen as they listen.
You love them. All right, Griffin.
I just want them to
Foxcatcher and
I'm
Bull Durham.
Idiot.
This is an easy Bull Durham for me here.
Yes, I've not seen Foxcatcher. I like Bull Durham. Send it through.
All right. He Got Game and The Way Back. Now, we talked about this last week. There's one that I do need to talk about, but other than that, I've seen every movie on this bracket now.
Wow.
I'm all caught up. And I thought He Got Game was pretty terrific.
Yeah, I think, without having seen either, I think He Got Game certainly has a bigger place in film history and sports iconography. Yeah. How was Ray Allen?
Ray Allen, it's very interesting. Ray Allen is a bit of a cipher in the movie, which I think that they are using him as a non-actor very effectively. You're squinting in confusion at me, but
I'm just curious as to why you have a bookmark for a Reddit page on the Colbert Report.
Well, Griffin, that is a that is a link to a torrent which contains the entirety of the Colbert Report, which I have since long ago successfully downloaded.
You've seen every episode of the Colbert Report?
I have not seen every episode of the Colbert Report. I have every episode.
Is this a project? You're gonna watch a daily comedy news show from 15 years ago?
Not an active one, but my thinking was like, this is a classic piece of comedy, you know?
Listen,
like,
it's literally pure genius comedy. Like,
it's so funny. But they're imagine if you wanted to see something from it now.
True.
And now, if I ever want to see something from it, I can. Anyway. I think He Got Game. Ray Allen's performance is very good. He's not asked to do much, but I think that, again, is by design. He is sort of a person who is dealing with a lot of uncertainty. And so he's able to, I think, project that successfully.
And if you were recasting today, who would you cast in his role? An NBA player.
I was thinking about that.
Is it Anthony Edwards, noted actor?
I don't think Anthony Edwards has... And not that the character of Jesus Shuttlesworth is...
Such a spike. Awesome. Very much. Just awesome.
He's not a timid character, but I feel like the character within the movie, like his position within the movie, is sort of like sacrificial almost. Like, he, not to invoke Jesus, but he exists to have other characters play off of him. And I feel like you need someone who has that sort of, like, I think, inherent unselfishness to them that I feel like Ray Allen does.
Right.
Whereas Anthony Edwards, I don't know if I... you know who actually would be good? Maybe not now, because obviously he's older, but Carl Anthony Towns.
Okay.
I could definitely see giving that kind of vulnerability on the silver screen.
Well, we'll get his agent on the phone for your impending remake. Up next, Chris, a Titanic matchup.
Mm-hmm. Not Jerry Maguire and Talladega Nights.
Listen, Talladega Nights is funny, quite funny, but Jerry Maguire.
That's
here's the question: does, I know it is, and maybe this will be a factor when it's going up against more traditional contenders in the later rounds. But we got to talk about how much of a sports movie it really is. I think that could be what undoes it. But for now, I think we send it through. We table
because it's more in the setting of sport rather than being about sport.
Yeah, and it's like it's also. Is it more about romance than sport? Kind of like Bull Durham.
And I see what you were alluding to, Griffin, but I certainly think that you could make the same argument about Talladega Nights.
Also very true. All right, Goon up against Remember the Titans. I like Remember the Titans. I have not seen Goon.
I like Goon fine. I like them both fine. I don't really feel strongly about this one either way. I think they're both like solid. I would not have a bad time watching either one, but I'm not going to get excited about either one.
Do you think if we don't pick Remember the Titans, we are supporting segregation?
Do you think that if we don't pick Goon, we will be tried and executed for treason?
Canadian film?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's hockey. Barrichelle.
Listen, I'd rather be a traitor than a racist.
Let's quickly do our Barrichelles.
Let me think of Jay Baruchel first. You go first.
Okay, here's mine. I can't believe the apocalypse happened, Jonah Hill.
Okay, not bad. But get ready for this.
Okay.
Wait, can I just go quickly watch How to Train Your Dragon and then come back and do it?
No. His name's Hiccup.
Hey, you got any weed? That's mine. I don't really know Baruchel. I didn't come into this claiming I had a Barrichelle.
I'm so glad. We'll go with Remember the Titans then in pure self-interest.
Yeah, just... I mean, listen. In today's woke culture...
Hey, speaking of woke, Griffin, Invictus, up against Air, another movie with a prominent racial component.
Air? I mean, actually, both of these movies do sort of have a racial component. Air's is a little more understated than Invictus's.
Yeah, more of an undertone in Air, I would say.
These are two good movies. I'm going to say it. I'm going to be brave enough. Matt Damon versus Matt Damon.
Mm-hmm.
In one, he famously does the world's toughest accent, flawlessly. Chris, Springbox. Do you have a South African accent in your back pocket?
I do. I don't know if I want to deploy it now.
Okay, we'll save it for a later round when Invictus moves through. Yes, that's what I'm saying.
I think that's valid. I know you have great love for that movie. I don't feel strong enough about Air to...
I liked Air.
...fight for it. I probably think it's a little better, but negligibly so.
All right.
This one's for the ladies.
Yeah.
Bring It On versus Love and Basketball.
I will take a back seat.
I mean, again, I famously do not have much love for Bring It On. I famously...
I saw a clip on TikTok last night about all the incredibly racist things that are said in Bring It On. I believe they're said by a villain of the movie. I don't think the movie is endorsing her horrific racism, but it is, like, outwardly racist taunts.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I believe at one point she refers to a black cheerleading squad as Hip Hop Barbie and her Wu-Tang Clan. This may be in Bring It On, too.
No, I think that sounds about right.
Yikes.
I'll definitely go with Love and Basketball. As I said last week, just watch Stick It. It's a much better movie, in my opinion. Griffin, we've come up against another problem here.
Can't find this one, eh?
This one does not exist. we're having similar problems. We, the movie-watching community, with Godzilla Minus One. People have not...
People are not letting it loose onto the free information highway.
Oscar winner.
Yeah.
Godzilla Minus One.
The creator snubbed. I have a lot of problems with the way the Academy voted this year.
The creator has some terrific visual effects.
I have not seen that movie, but from the trailers, looked amazing.
It is also just a case of if you shoot on location in like the most beautiful parts of Asia, it will look incredible.
That's true. All right. Chris, I have not seen the first, or I have seen the first Slam Dunk. Quite good. I liked it a lot. You watched Ali this week. What were your thoughts?
I thought Ali was very good. I expected, I think because it was Michael Mann, obviously a very auteur filmmaker, yes. I think I expected something a little that would deviate a little more from sort of the established biopic kind of rhythms. It sort of takes the period of time where it's like, I think it starts with like his first world championship win, and then you get, you know, the Thrill in Manila, the Rumble in the Jungle, and that's pretty much like, you know, sort of that classic span of his career that has sort of entered the popular consciousness.
Right.
As sort of like the Ali era. I thought that there's really great stuff in there from a filmmaking standpoint. It looks crazy. Michael Mann, very famous for using like digital video very early on when people weren't doing that as much. I think it's shot like, it does not look like it's trying to emulate the 60s or the time period in which it's taking place, which I think is a point in its favor in terms of the filmmaking style.
Right.
It's not trying to look old. I think the score is really great, but like those are peripheral things.
Yeah.
But I did really like it.
Okay. Well, listen, this seems like it's two good movies here. Do you have a way you would like... I know you're very excited to one day see the first Slam Dunk.
I am. And I do think I'm that I will like the first Slam Dunk more.
Okay. All right, why don't we send the first Slam Dunk through?
That sounds good to me. All right, now it's your turn to talk about a movie you saw, Griffin, The Karate Kid against Ford v. Ferrari.
Yes, I finished Ford v. Ferrari moments ago. I liked it. I did. I think it sort of drags in the middle a little bit. But the racing scenes are absolutely phenomenal. They're really well done in a way that Gran Turismo did not execute. And it's like, it doesn't seem that hard to do. Like, it seems pretty easy these days to do a good racing scene. So I don't know what was wrong with Gran Turismo, but we're here to talk about Ford v. Ferrari. We love Matt Damon, of course.
Yeah, he's all over this bracket.
I gotta say, just going into it, I was expecting sort of more of the V Ferrari part. It was more just Ford, the movie. Mm-hmm. So I did think that, I was sort of not having ever seen the movie. I thought Christian Bale was going to be an Italian guy who was with Ferrari,
sure.
Knowing him and his crazy chameleon-esque sure. nature. Mm-hmm. So I did like it. I don't think it's a new instant favorite for me or anything like that, but I certainly enjoyed it. I was glad that I watched it, and I would put it through over The Karate Kid. Oh, I don't know. The Karate Kid is kind of a legendary film.
I don't know if it's a legendary film. It's certainly a fondly remembered film. I have no problems with The Karate Kid. I would probably take Ford v. Ferrari, but
Let's do that. Let's do Ford
v. Ferrari. I mean, if you love The Karate Kid, then
I don't love The Karate Kid. I like The Karate Kid. I think it's got a legacy, but Ford v. Ferrari was quite good, and I really did enjoy it while I was watching it.
Okay, we'll send it through. Oh, gosh. I'm trying to submit scores and stuff. Ooh, two great movies here. Rocky and A League of Their Own, Griffin. And just be careful, but go ahead.
What am I? I'm going with A League of Their Own, one of my all-time favorites.
Wow, I did not expect that, but I love A League of Their Own as well. I think happy it's to like, send that through.
I don't think it's necessarily a perfect movie, but like, I can't think of many that do it better than A League of Their Own.
I think that and Field of Dreams are, and Bull Durham even, like, that... little period, not even, I mean, it's in the same vein as like an Apollo 13,
right,
where it's like there was just something in the air in like the early 90s that has a particular vibe and a particular look to it that is very
is it a lack of cynicism? Are we not as cynical as we are today 30 years later?
Maybe. Or maybe just the less cynical movies are what has survived.
Oh, good point. All right, up next we have The Titan, the number one seed, some would say. Moneyball going up against Anthony Edwards' vehicle, Hustle. Mm-hmm. You have already submitted the vote for Moneyball.
Well, are you going to make a case for Hustle?
No.
I would be the one to make it, I imagine.
Okay, now two of the great filmmakers of our of our in any generation, as Martin Scorsese's The Color of Money takes on Trey Parker and Matt Stone's Basketball, Chris. Another one of your recent viewings. That
yes, I finished Basketball last night. It is pretty much what you would imagine.
Yeah.
There's a gentle sprinkling of transphobic humor.
I was going to say, I haven't seen it in a long time. I can only imagine, based on who was involved and when it came out, that that
there
must be
there. There may be some racial components to some of the jokes.
I can only imagine that as well.
But yeah, I mean, like, you know, it is what it is. It's pretty much what I expected. It's not very funny, unfortunately.
Come on. Obviously, I don't condone offensive humor. Like I said, I probably haven't seen it in a decade, but the running joke about the TV show that's just roadkill, and he's just watching it going, like,
That was, like, one of my, the only times I laughed. It was when there, so, yes, like you were saying, there's a part where he has his famous Reggie Jackson three-homer game on tape.
Right.
And then is watching it back, and it cuts to, like, a caught on tape style,
like cop
show
style.
Yes, that's just roadkill getting run over, but it's the same shot every time of like this raccoon bouncing up over the car. And then later, when they're like frantically driving to try and make the basketball game, they do it again, where they hit the raccoon and use the same shot again.
And every time he just goes like, "Oh, oh no, oh god, oh."
And that is one of the few times that I was like, "That's good."
Yeah. Whatever happened to the guy who played Squeak in that movie? What's he up to these days?
It's a good question. He sort of looks like Robert Patrick or Jason Patrick in Terminator 2. I think Robert Patrick.
He does kind of look like that. Yeah. Do you think it's the same guy?
No.
When I was a kid, I always just sort of assumed they were like a comedy trio. Like, he does seem like the third member of the writers, but
he does get brought into the fold quite heavily. It's true. I'm going to Color of Money.
I am too. I watched it this year, really liked it. I do want to rewatch Basketball. I'm going
to
rewatch it.
I would welcome you to do so.
And I'm not going to condone the offensive stuff.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, there are 90s comedies that I think you can still find funny. I mean, this is not a 90s comedy, but I have often on this show talked about Dirty Grandpa, which I think is one of an outrageously funny movie that is not at all
thought that way by anyone else.
Sure, by haters, perhaps. But I think that there is definitely a place for that kind of humor. I do not think
crass comedy without punching down.
Even if, frankly.
You're about to come
even
out as pro punching
down. Even if you were
going
to punch down, I think that it's possible to make a funny joke that punches down.
Yes.
To like something that makes you feel bad for laughing, basically.
Yes.
But I do not think
it's
successful.
Basketball does not have a lot of those.
Griffin, Cars 3 against Space Jam.
Cars 3 against Space Jam. And just before we move on, the game of basketball itself, kind of genius.
No. I was like, this does seem fun.
It's a fun game to play. We'll get out there sometime. We'll get out into a schoolyard. We'll play some basketball.
That sounds good.
What was your favorite psych out?
I'm
now just remembering basketball as we talk about it.
Yeah. I guess I'll go with when he was squirting milk out of his nipples. I thought I was like, oh, no, no. I didn't want to look at it, but I did find it funny in a certain way.
And just finally, your thoughts on Al Michaels' acting ability.
I was stunned that Al Michaels and Bob Costas were there.
I thought they were funny. I remember when I was a kid thinking that they were funny.
There's also, I should just mention offhand here, Griffin, there's a little like montage in the middle of He Got Game that's just like, it's like a documentary piece that SportsCenter has done about Jesus Shuttlesworth. And so you have all of these different college coaches and NBA coaches and NBA players like all talking about Jesus Shuttlesworth and like talking about his game to sort of like establish his bona fides within the universe of the movie. And then it goes on for a few minutes, and then it ends with Michael Jordan going, he got game.
Oh, that's
and
really
I was just
good.
Like, it's so good. I love an in-universe when you sort of put your movie within the real universe. Yeah. I think that that's always fun.
My heart was soaring because you started that with talking about a really good something and then a montage, and I thought you were going to talk about the Real Big Fish song Beer that takes place during a montage of them playing basketball. I love that song.
It is also by the Milwaukee Bears. Beer. I almost, because I was watching it in bed while Evie was sleeping, and I almost woke her up to be like, honey, it's Real Big Fish.
Playing a great song.
And I do think she would have been excited to see them, but she was sleeping at this time.
I think you made the right call. All right, Chris, we are going to have to rapid fire. Discussion is over. We are now only picking winners. We're at 54 minutes on this podcast. Okay. Time has flown.
Your hard out is now.
Yeah, so I'm pushing it back. Cars 3 versus Space Jam. I say Cars 3.
Cars 3.
Wow, unanimous. Yeah. Even though you respect Space Jam,
but it's more nostalgia than liking the movie. She's the Man and Miracle.
You're going Miracle.
I feel like you're going Miracle.
I don't have strong feelings about Miracle, and I know a lot of people love She's the Man. Like we said on the last episode, women of our generation, it's a big movie for them. So if you want to go She's the Man.
I don't have strong feelings about it either. I like it.
Let's go She's the Man. Why not?
Okay, let's do it.
I don't really care about Miracle.
Yes, I agree with you on that. The Sandlot and Happy Gilmore. Did you watch The Sandlot?
I did watch The Sandlot. I really, really liked The Sandlot. I teared up a bit at the end, James Earl Jones part. How can you not be romantic about baseball?
I knew you would like it.
Really, really good. Benny Rodriguez, maybe the single like best person ever in a movie. Like,
sure.
Truly, truly just an unimpeachably good guy. Mm-hmm. And when is like a Sandlot reunion coming at the Oscars? Because how great would it be to see those 9 kids walk out?
People love it. People
they fight. They fight over the envelope. Envelope goes like over a fence. Can't go get it. The beast.
Sure. What did you think of the part where he tricks her into kissing?
That part, I was not as on board. But it ends up good. They get married and have 9 kids. So
they clearly forgot about that.
Clearly, she was happy about it.
No, there's this I have to tell you about something else later. the ending of have you seen Crazy Stupid Love?
Yes, love that movie.
The ending of Crazy Stupid Love is bonkers.
Did you just watch it recently for the first time, or
I rewatched it recently?
Oh yeah, great but ending.
Well, you're thinking of that one scene where they all unite, but yeah, I'm talking about when a teenager gives a little boy nude photographs of themselves.
Oh yeah, that's insane. I forgot about that.
Because I remembered that.
I
like,
feel like that happens a lot in movies. Like
I did
older
remember that the running
like,
thread was like
one day.
This young boy has a crush on his older babysitter, but I did not remember that specific and that like the babysitter is into it by the end. I did not remember that that's. Specifically was added.
Crazy.
Anyways.
Like, that's far too common of a trope in movies.
It's true.
Sandlot goes through over Happy Gilmore.
Sandlot. Hoosiers and Cars, Griffin. I don't care much about either of these.
Cars.
Alright. And then this is the
that
one.
That one's just for the haters.
Bendit Like Beckham and Field of Dreams. I did not get a chance to see Bendit Like Beckham. I was saving it because I wanted to watch it with some friends and did not get a chance before we recorded.
Okay.
Well, it would be hard to beat Field of Dreams.
Yeah, it's
anyways.
Still Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
Subject of a great Mulaney bit at the Oscars. Move Absolutely. On to the Sweet 16.
Bull Durham and He Got Game. Both great. I'm still going Bull here.
All right. I watched an episode of the TV show Bull. Terrible show.
What about Pitch?
No, still did not watch Pitch.
What about Ray Donovan?
I have not seen that either. You want to do a best team sports TV shows bracket sometime?
Yeah, we can get Arliss in there, Sports Night, all the greats.
I'm partway through Ballers. Sports Night right now. I love Sports Night.
Jerry Maguire, Remember the Titans, Griffin.
Jerry Maguire.
J-Mag all the way here. Huge matchup in this Elite Eight. Invictus versus Love and Basketball.
Keep the Invictus train movies. Rolling, baby. Chugga, 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 chugga. All the way to equality.
I guess I'm fine with that.
Yeah, you are.
The First Slam Dunk versus Ford v Ferrari, Griffin.
Oh. Give it to the First Slam Dunk, I think.
All right. I have no qualms about that. A League of Their Own versus Moneyball.
Jeez. You mean the finals? We're already at the finals?
That's a tough, tough seed.
I've seen A League of Their Own more recently than I've seen Moneyball.
Listen, but it's still money Bob.
I know. We're both just looking at each other being like, we don't want to say it.
Yeah.
But I would love to put a League of Their Own through, but it is.
It's a deserving, you know, Final Four at least. Yeah. Color of Money versus Cars 3.
Color of Money. Maybe we should have put The Hustler on here instead of The Color of Money. Or instead of Cars 2.
One of those. She's the Man Against the Sandlot. This is really boys versus girls.
Yeah. Team boys. Team Ken.
Yeah, you're a Ken all the way.
I'm one of the good ones.
I haven't seen Sandlot in a while, but I think it's probably...
You should rewatch it. It's
equally
good.
Equally or a little bit better. Cars versus Field of Dreams. I'm just going to go ahead and put Field of Dreams
through. Can't lose Cars and Cars 3 in the same round.
All right.
The Elite Bull 8.
Durham, Jerry Maguire.
Ooh, Nuke LaLoosh versus...
Terrific movies.
Cuba Gooding Jr.'s character, whose name I forget. You must remember.
I should remember.
Ray.
You talked for.
Stillsworth,
I was
going to
say. I think
something?
It's Ray. Is it is? That's basically
something
right.
Like that. Stillsville.
Rod Tidwell.
Not quite Ray Stillsworth, but.
But you were.
I had all the right sure. General areas. I think Jerry Maguire.
Sounds good to. Well, I don't know.
You love Bull Durham.
Bull Durham, I think, is awesome. I mean, it's hard to go wrong here. They're two of my absolute favorite movies.
I don't remember. Does he set the minor league home run record or no?
I believe he does.
Okay.
No spoilers. We don't remember, so there's no...
Yeah, could go either way. That's what the general, one of the concepts of the movie is.
Yeah.
In crazy that one of these is making the Final Four, Chris. You've only seen one of them, so I know who you're voting for.
Of course, I'm obligated to vote for Invictus. My favorite
I'll
movie.
Defer to you, I guess.
We can, I guess, keep the Invictus train rolling. Whoa, a money versus money matchup, Griffin. Moneyball versus The Color of Money.
Shout out and, to Scorsese. Okay.
Here's the thing.
Okay.
It's green. We already know.
You're stupid. Give it to Moneyball.
And Sandlot versus Field of Dreams.
Kind of
I don't
a
know
spiritual
why I said,
sequel.
I was gonna say they're sort of kindred in that way. I don't know why
it,
I said ooh
come.
Because it's not very close. I think Field of Dreams is
fine.
Definitely better, but very valid.
All right, Chris. Our final four: two baseball movies,
this looks
one
about right.
Football/sports agent movie, and of course a rugby movie.
Of course. I mean, this is where my unconditional support for Invictus must end.
You're saying there's a condition? What if I, like, filibuster for Invictus? What if I chain myself to a tree for Invictus?
I welcome it.
No, give it to Jerry Maguire. Even I cannot blind myself.
All right, and Moneyball versus Field of Dreams, Griffin.
Let's talk about
they're
this.
They're very different movies.
Yes. One believes in the soul of baseball. The other sucks it out in favor of Microsoft Excel.
I think one of the great achievements of Moneyball is that it puts soul into...
Microsoft Excel. That's my favorite Excel command. Soul.
That's interesting.
Listen. This is crazy. That these two are going head-to-head like this.
But very valid for a Final Four.
Very valid. It was always going to be tough. Baseball. That's what James Earl
baseball.
Jones says. Baseball.
Baseball.
Listen, they don't.
That's a,
they
is
don't
that a
play,
Billy Crystal joke?
They don't play a Moneyball game in Major League Baseball every year. They don't go. In fact, they won't be playing any.
They
come a
kind
couple
of
years.
Do every year.
I love Moneyball. I really, really do. Field of Dreams is like the definitional baseball movie.
Yeah, I think that it has higher, because what's so great about Moneyball is that it has those, you know, Sorkin-esque, if you want to put it that way.
Who?
The Sorkin-esque dialogue, while also having the thrilling moments that you associate with a sports movie.
Right.
But I think Field of Dreams does the sports movie part of sports movies better than Moneyball does.
I think it's Field of Dreams. I think we're both talking here. The number one seed, I didn't think anything could beat Moneyball, but as we look at this now, I think Is it a movie that I think is, like, objectively a better made movie? Maybe not. But is it a better sports movie? I think maybe.
I think so. I think that it makes you care about sports more than Moneyball does.
Spreadsheets.
And by that token, I think that here is where Jerry Maguire has a vulnerability, which is that, yes, as you say, it's not really very much about sports.
You can't imagine anyone in Field of Dreams saying, "Show me the money." That is not the central takeaway of Field of Dreams.
Well, there is kind of a prominent bank figure who are asking him to show him the money.
But are we? I don't think we're really on his side in the film.
No, certainly not. But I can't imagine it. I don't think we're meant to be on... Well, maybe not.
You don't think we're meant to be on Rod's side?
No, I think you're right.
Regina King? That
in my mind, Jerry Maguire said that, but then I realized that no. It's, in fact, Rod Tidwell.
Rod Tidwell. Listen, but two of the all-time great movies. It's fitting for our final.
Mm-hmm. I do think that if we're applying the same litmus test as we did against Moneyball, then it is still Field of Dreams.
I agree. Are we doing this?
I think we're doing
this. You're going to hit submit?
And I'm submitted.
Officially crown Kevin Costner.
I mean, no losers on the Costner train.
No. And quickly, who directed Field of Dreams?
It was, of course, a gentleman by the name of... And I know this, there's no need for me to look it up. And I already know that it's Phil Alden Robinson, that he wrote and directed the film.
And, of course, he's also well known for his directing work on...
The Sum of All Fears, the Ben Affleck, Jack Ryan movie. Sneakers.
And Band of Brothers.
Oh, sure.
HBO miniseries.
And Juliet Naked, he did the screenplay for.
And The Angriest Man in Brooklyn,
starring and Robin Williams. And Ghost Dad.
And
do you know Ghost Dad?
No, but I do know Freedom Song, also directed by...
Bill Cosby's a Ghost Dad in it.
Oh, boy.
Directed by Sidney Poitier.
Oh, so not directed by Phil Alden Robinson. Sidney Poitier.
No, he co-wrote the screenplay.
A legend.
Absolutely.
Only directed 9 films, and one of them was Ghost Dad.
Ghost Dad.
What an honor to go through this, Chris, with you.
Sidney Poitier only died in 2022. You ever think about that?
Yeah, I remember.
And he died on January 6th.
Coincidence? It was just too much for him. His heart gave out as he was climbing the second barrier.
Jeez. All right. Terrible note to end on. Wrap this up.
No, he died in January 6, 2022, not 2021.
You're crazy. All right. Wrap it up.
Thank you all so much for listening and going on this journey with us. It was a lot of fun. March, of course, not over. So hopefully we got more brackets still to come your way. Could do a greatest team of all time brackets. So far, all of our brackets have been media-based, but we could actually do sports-based brackets.
That would be really fun.
Best logo, best mascot. I think March is going to be a very fun month for us moving forward. Just wait for March 2029 when we're doing, like, best number in a football game score bracket. Like, 28, 4 touchdowns, 4 conversions. See? There's competition already.
All right.
Thank you all for listening.
Griff Report on 97. Yes. See you guys in jail. HFLC podcast. Until next time, keep your floors high. Keep your ceilings low. Bye.
If you build it, they will come.
See you
and play baseball.